broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 7th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. By the way, we were not live on Saturday. Took a little break with my family. We were out of town celebrating birthdays. It's kind of a birthday month for the Bushman household. My wife had a birthday. My daughter had a birthday. My grandson had a birthday. It was just birthdays everywhere, but it was fantastic. Spent some time together with loved ones and really enjoyed each other's company, and what a blessing that is. It is all about God, family, and country, that's for sure. All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. I don't know what's going on. Technical problems everywhere. Just start the week out right. That's how it usually works out, right? Nothing but difficulties to start out the week. And then hopefully as time goes on, as you move towards, thank heavens, it's Friday, hopefully things get a little better, right? Anyway, we were not live on Saturday. Took a quick break with family. But Friday we were indeed live. And we talked to Chris Carlson. Without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for liberty is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight and stand up for all things liberty. We also had on our guest, Mr. Sasha Aldikoff, and he's with Center Stage Performing Arts. That's Center Stage Performing Arts Studio, and it's centerstageutah.com to learn more about Sasha's dance studio. They're going to be having a big event coming up, a fundraiser tomorrow, from what I understand. So our prayers are with them that they can raise the money for these dancers. But Sasha and his wife Cheyenne are accomplished world champion ballroom dancers. Originally, Sasha's from the Donetsk region of the Ukraine, I guess is how you say it. His parents still live there, and they're experiencing much of the war from their home. His father's Russian, his mother's Ukrainian. And he provided some great insight about what's going on over there in the war, and et cetera. What is the war between Ukraine and Russia really about is the question. He wasn't quite sure, and neither are we. And I submit to you, neither is the United States and or NATO. Okay, we're in over our heads. We're in where we don't belong. That's for sure. Anyway, we had a great show with Sasha talking about that. And he mentioned that, you know what, a lot of the Ukrainians, especially if they live on the Russian border, they're very pro-Russian. There used to be a peaceful but yet fun rivalry between the two countries. And things have changed. He doesn't know what it's all about. He just says, I haven't been over there. I've been in America. But it's interesting. Sasha's also married to an American woman. And so that means he's got a unique situation. He understands the Ukraine. He understands Russia. His parents are from both countries, so he's got allegiances to both from a familial point of view, right? He also has allegiances to America because he's married to an American bride. And very strange indeed. He says there's more freedoms in America. He says, you know, believe it or not, there's more freedoms in the Ukraine and in Russia than you might think. They could do a lot of things. What he referred to is it's not so much freedom, but it's opportunity. That's an interesting dichotomy that I hadn't really thought much about that he brought up. He says there's just a lot more opportunities in America. One, from a financial point of view. But finances open up so many other opportunities. Anyway, great, great discussion with our buddy from the Ukraine. All right, that was a great hour. Second hour on Friday, we had on, of course, Dr. Scott Bradley, who will be on the second hour with us today, freedomsrisingsun.com. And we talked about this incredible book called Tornado in a Junkyard, The Relentless Myth of Darwinism. And James Perloff tells his personal story of converting over time from atheism to Christianity and why and how he got converted, if you will. All things denote there is a Christ is primarily the point. We talked about wise men still seek Christ. Amen to that. We also talked about this incredible fact check article from USA Today. Headline says, George Washington's hefty bar tab days before the Constitution signing is indeed real, says USA Today. Now, the bar tab may be real. I don't deny that. But I submit to you that I need to fact check the fact checkers. I provide a reality check on the fact checkers, ladies and gentlemen. They're fake fact checkers, and let me tell you why. Because when they want to tell you a lie, all right, when they want to tell you something bad about George Washington, then they isolate this fact and they ignore all relevant context. When they want to then fact check us, if we point out a fact, what they want to do is they want to add context. So they might say that might be factual, but it's lacking context or whatever they say. And a reality check is this. They're really trying to denigrate George Washington or all the founding fathers for that matter. They want you to believe that somehow the founding fathers were just a bunch of goofy, no good, you know. So George Washington, you know, made whiskey and sold whiskey from his, I don't know what you call it, farm there. And, you know, George is bad. He let a big old ripping bar tab happen there. And, you know, wow, George, bad old George. But it isn't true. And let me tell you what I mean. The facts may be there in terms of, yes, there was a big party thrown that George Washington was involved in. George probably didn't even want to be at the party. He didn't even want to be the president of the United States. He didn't want to be away from Martha. He didn't want to be away from his farm, Martha being his wife. He didn't want any of those things, but he did it because of his love of freedom and love of his country. And he was there, and he might have let them have a party, but you know what? He took no salary when he was in office either. So you know what? When you look at it that way, you say, wow. So he jettisoned the salary for many years, but then he let them have a party. And, well, you could say, well, that was his only salary. Let my people have a party there. Let them know how much I appreciate them. And, yeah, they drank alcohol, and George wasn't maybe, you know, a promoter of it, but he didn't stop them either. And you know, you take it all out of context. That isn't George Washington. If you think of that, oh, George Washington had a massive bar tab, shame on George, then you kind of think, oh, George is like all the other politicians, no difference. That is where, in my opinion, the out-of-context facts may manipulate reality into a lie. That's why I give a reality check, not even a fact check. I'm not debating that there was a party. I'm not debating that it was maybe even somewhat extravagant. But when you put that in context of what George really did for the country and how much he took from the country in return for his incredible service, you start to realize a different picture. When you realize that George Washington was not into alcohol, was not into late night carousing, was not into womanizing, was not into any of those things, you get a different picture. And if you go to Mount Vernon to this day, there is a George Washington's prayer for his country. And this prayer is read aloud each day at Mount Vernon's. They call it wreath-laying ceremony there. Every day they do it for the people that come. And when you realize this, it was a circular really sent to those around George. It was a kind of a prayer in his heart for his country. When you read that, you just go, wow, that isn't the man we're talking about, is it? No, you're right. That's the whole point that I'm making. Furthermore, when you look at George Washington's farewell address, between that prayer for his country and the farewell address, you begin to understand George Washington. George Washington was very unique for his time. And he never, never sought for power. And anytime he had an opportunity to seize power, he rejected it, including the day he left office. He literally walked out of there as a lone man. He didn't have a gaggle of security hanging around. He didn't have all kinds of pomp and pretense in his wake or anything like that. He merely walked down the street as a citizen, delighted to be so, humbly reflecting on the people around him who came out into the streets to wish their president, a man larger than life, farewell. Was he larger than life? Was he more than a man? No, he was not. I'm going to say that again. No, he was not. We don't worship George Washington in any way, but we do acknowledge his unique, humble, God-fearing traits. Absolutely. And so the article in the USA Today, in my opinion, truly paints George in a dishonest, unfavorable light. And shame on those who put it like that. Just shame on them all. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. Saturday took a break for family. Today back live. In seconds, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org will be with us. The first hour got a bunch of incredible articles. Second hour, of course, Dr. Scott Bradley will be once again on your radio telling the tale of liberty. And oh, what a blessing that is. You know, he really got beat up by COVID, ladies and gentlemen, almost died, as did I. But Scott Bradley's situation was way worse than mine. He went into the hospital, and they absolutely, with the government hospital-mandated protocols, almost literally killed him. Insanity, I'll tell you that right now. But there you have it. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. I am Sam Bushman. We're talking about things that matter most, aren't we? We're talking about founding fathers. We're talking about the supreme law of the land. We're talking about America. We're talking about the sacred cause of liberty. We're talking about it all on your radio, right?
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. Freedomfactor.org.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Technical difficulties plagued the broadcast this morning, but Lowell Nelson's with us. That's the great news. Welcome to the broadcast, Lowell.
Well, thank you for having me, Sam. It's good to be with you.
Sorry we didn't bring you on a little bit before. We didn't get the cue. We were having a little bit of technical difficulties for some reason. I don't know what's going on this morning. Maybe they're trying to sabotage the broadcast, you think?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, they don't want anybody to get involved in the precinct caucuses, do they?
No, nothing important like that. Probably the most important political meeting every 2 years, Sam.
Amen to that. And even on odd years, ladies and gentlemen, still seriously important because that's sometimes when we make the biggest decisions that affect us for way more than 2 years, Lowell.
That's true. As in 2018, when we elected caucus or precinct officers and delegates in 2018, we had no idea that we might be serving for longer than 2 years. But everybody who was elected in 2018, because we didn't have caucuses in 2020, ended up serving a four-year term. And, of course, those who are in the cause of liberty did so gladly. Those who were in it just for their preferred candidate, they petered out, they dropped out, they went AWOL, you know, within a year or two of their election. And so, anyway, it's been a bit of a rough go. But you know, there are people, Sam, who don't want the caucuses around. There are people who want to get rid of them. There are people who wanted SB 54 in 2014, this signature pass, who want to undermine the caucus convention because they have more power without the caucus convention system. They don't like the check that it is on their power to have in-person vetting by delegates elected to choose the party's nominees. And so there's a movement afoot even today, Sam, even this week, even though we're having caucuses tomorrow night. I think there's a concerted, malicious effort to torpedo the caucus system, because there are some counties in the state, they haven't done a very good job publicizing the caucuses. A lot of people still don't know where their caucus tomorrow night is going to be held. And so it's like there's just a few people in the party that are clinging to the caucus convention system, who are doing their very, very best to get the word out to people so that we have successful caucuses this year. But I'm telling you what, it's kind of an uphill battle in some areas of the state. But bottom line, Sam, is caucuses are, for the Republican Party anyway, tomorrow night, March 8th, 7 p.m., and you go to a website called precinctportal.org to find the location of your caucus. That location, again, is precinctportal.org. It will have, you just enter your street address and city, and it'll tell you where your caucus will be held, Sam. And we need everybody to attend their caucus, all the liberty-minded people possible. Get elected as delegates either to your state and or your county convention, and do all you can to evangelize caucuses. Evangelize its virtues. Help people around you see its many benefits, because this, Sam, really is an institution worth preserving. Sam?
It is beyond an institution worth preserving, Lowell. I don't in any mean to, any way to not say it's not worth preserving. What I'm saying is I think it's way beyond that, and let me tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to take away the caucus system, ladies and gentlemen, in Utah, other states I know don't have this, so they're already missing a lot of the checks and balances that the founders intended. You lose the ability to really have dedicated people vet the candidates. The caucuses are all about vetting candidates. They're all about getting a one-on-one or a Q&A or whatever you want to call it, an interaction with the candidates. And when you take this away, then you get people like Mitt Romney or other big bureaucrats with plenty of cash, plenty of money, plenty of name recognition or whatever. And they just simply, promote what they want to in the media. And the media becomes the prevention of vetting tool that they use to manipulate you and I. All we can get is scripted sound bites. All we can get is interviews by those who oftentimes prove they're in bed with the candidates. Oftentimes we hear that they give questions, say in advance, to these candidates so they can kind of craft a very manipulated answer, etc. And that's kind of what we're seeing and what happens, ladies and gentlemen. And when you circumvent these caucus meetings, when you circumvent this true, honest, open vetting process by several people that are delegates, so not just one or two media people, but several people that are delegates that are from the grassroots, that truly understand the issues and truly have very appropriate, probing, detailed questions, catching candidates a little bit off guard. Not that we want to attack them, but you're not going to get some, special crafted answer or specially worded, thought-about answer. You're going to get the candidates raw and real of who they are, what they stand for, what they don't, what they really know, what they don't. In other words, how much candidate do you know about the Constitution? If you've got a staff that can craft a bunch of answers, you can sound very constitutional with a very carefully worded, but yet, you know what? That doesn't let you know what the candidate knows at all. That also doesn't let you know with a very worded, crafty statement where they really stand on issues. That doesn't really, okay? So this vetting process is vital, and especially when it comes to the primaries, because ladies and gentlemen, that's who downstream most people are going to end up being able to vote for. You get choice A and choice B or whatever you want to say, or maybe A, whatever. But before the primaries, there's a lot of those candidates that may never see the light of day. But yet a great caucus system, a great vetting by the delegates sent there. Remember, this is a representative republic, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a democracy. You don't just get there and the person with the most votes wins. This is a situation where you go and you say to these delegates, hey, I want you to vet these candidates for me. I don't have time to do it. Every American doesn't have time to really dig in. But I'm going to elect somebody as a delegate who will do that job for me and really pay attention and really focus and really give it the time that this deserves. Anyway, I don't mean to go off forever on this lull, but I do want to sound off some because we cannot ignore this. This is critical. And I'm telling you, the face of Utah will change to a liberal bastion of bureaucrat politicians if we allow this to occur, sir.
Well said, Sam. Not only do you want delegates to take the time to vet the candidates, but with a limited number of delegates, meaning a reasonable number. In the case of a congressional candidate, the number is 1,000. In the case of a statewide candidate, the number is 4,000. In the case of maybe a House representative or a state senator, the number is several hundred delegates who get to vet the candidate and make the choice as to who the party nominee is going to be. And what that does, it allows the candidates also to campaign specifically to those delegates. If you have, you know, a population of a million registered voters in the state, I think we have pretty close to a million registered voters in the state of Utah, and you expect a candidate to campaign to that many delegates, then the only way they can possibly reach them is through print media, paid media, TV advertising, yard signs, U.S. mail postage. The list goes on and on, which are expensive routes to take. So really, it really becomes a rich man's ball game in that environment. Whereas, as you have said, vetting, using delegates who are commissioned to vet the candidates, then you have a reasonable number of delegates to campaign to, and those delegates have a reasonable length of time to vet the candidate. They see them in person, they see them in small group chats, they see them in debates, and they see them giving a speech, they see them in all venues. And so they come to understand, and they can ask their own questions. They don't have to rely on what a newspaper reporter asks the candidate. And because of that, then these delegates are in much more powerful, knowledgeable, informed position to cast their votes on who really will adhere to the Constitution, who will uphold the party platform, who will follow the Constitution and follow the proper role of government. So it is very much worth repeating, Sam, the values of our caucus convention system, our delegate caucus convention system. It just goes beyond the nominal value you might associate with that system. It truly does preserve liberty and has done for decades and decades in the state of Utah, but we stand in peril today because of those who want to destroy the caucus convention system. Sam?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, quick pause. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
After two ceasefires were broken by Russia in recent days with bombs hitting the fleeing civilians, another ceasefire has been announced Monday in Ukraine. Previous such measures have fallen apart, and Moscow's armed forces continued to pummel some Ukrainian cities with rockets even after the announcement this morning. The official global death toll from COVID-19 surpassed 6 million people on Monday. The milestone recorded by Johns Hopkins University is the latest tragic reminder of the unrelenting nature of this pandemic. Hundreds of truckers in a giant convoy have spent the past week traversing the country, and they're now heading to D.C. to protest COVID-19 mask and vaccine mandates. Jim, a tractor-trailer driver from Colorado on WUSA 9, says he wants his voice to be heard.
The main thing is, for me, is for them to take off the Emergency Act, because I feel like that as long as that's on, they can do just about whatever they want.
USA Radio News.
Okay, so we got the chorizo dumplings, the cucumber empanadas.
Zara's food truck is popping off.
Come on, guys, let's pick it up, all right?
But if she doesn't find a new chef, her truck will be stuck.
Carl quit this morning, so Jessica, I'm going to need you on the fryer.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You've heard us talk about the luxurious Giza Dream sheets for MyPillow. Well, now they're on sale, 60% off, as low as $39.99. Lots of other overstock items and a free copy of Mike Lindell's book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. With any purchase, but you've got to use my promo code USA. Go to MyPillow.com, the radio listener square. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
Democrat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from California, in a letter Sunday, said that the House is working on legislation to isolate Russia, including a ban on Russian oil and energy. It should be noted the Biden administration continues to pay Russia for imported oil. Pelosi said their bill would ban the import of Russian oil and energy products into the United States, repeal normal trade relations with Russia and Belarus, and take the first step to deny Russia access to the World Trade Organization. Social media TikTok announced Sunday that users in Russia will not be permitted to post content on the platform in response to Russia's new social media-related policies, a.k.a. Russia's new fake news law. The threat of jail time by President Putin has put freedom of speech on notice. Conventional wisdom would have us believe that the journey to a long, healthy life begins with 10,000 steps every day. The optimal number is probably closer to 6,000 steps per day for those near 60 years of age. The study was done by the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson with me, campaignforliberty.org. Please understand, precinct caucuses are tomorrow in the Olympic State of Utah. Primary voting all over the country, I might add. Pay attention to your state and get involved, would you please. Precinctportal.org is where you go if you want to find out where your precincts are for tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, thought would bring that to your attention. Utah Legislature, HB 11. Prohibits boys from all female sports teams, but ...
Well, earlier in the week, Sam, this bill, as written, would have permitted boys to play on all female sports teams if they were permitted to do so by a commission especially formed and designated to consider all such requests, you know, from boys who want to identify as girls. Well, we lobbied the legislature very hard to defeat this bill, even though it had passed the House earlier. We lobbied the Senate very hard to defeat this bill. And, well, when it reached the Senate floor, the public outcry was so great that the Senate was not inclined to approve it, right? So we thought, okay, finally, we're going to have some success here. However, the bill was amended, Sam. It was amended to prohibit boys from playing on all female sports teams unless that prohibition is, quote, held invalid by a final decision of a court of competent jurisdiction, end quote. Well, with that amendment, most of the opposition...
So let me stop you there, though. Put all the authority in the hands of a few robed bureaucrat thugs. In my opinion, disaster.
Exactly, Sam. But with that amendment, most of the opposition to the bill evaporated. The Senate approved the bill, and the House concurred with that amendment, and it now sits, it's now going to the governor's desk. Now, turns out that Governor Cox says he intends to veto this bill. And so there's a lot of people who are emailing and contacting the governor's office, begging him to sign the bill. Now, to me, Sam, this is now an ugly bill. This is neither a good bill nor a bad bill, but it is what I call an ugly bill. It's ugly for the very reason you said so. It's good that it does two things. Number one, it gives a definition of sex. So sex is defined as, quote, the biological physical condition of being male or female determined by an individual's genetics and anatomy at birth, end of quote. So that's one good thing it does. The second good thing it does is it prohibits boys from playing on all female sports teams. But a bad thing it does is that caveat that we mentioned, unless that prohibition is held invalid by a final decision of a court of competent jurisdiction. And so you hit the nail right on the head, Sam, because I would bet, you know, probably $100, even though I'm not a gambling man, that down the road, a few years down the road, maybe this year, maybe next year, who knows, there will be a federal judge who will declare, he will opine, you know, he'll render an opinion. He will say that this law is not constitutional. He'll say you can't keep a trans from playing on the all-female sports team. And at that point, Sam, this law itself acquiesces to the decision of a court of competent jurisdiction. And so we will acquiesce, the state of Utah will acquiesce to this opinion by some federal judge. And then, voila, we will have boys playing on all-female sports teams right here in the state of Utah. Now, it's going to be my position. I'm going to argue that the states never gave the general government power or authority to determine the composition of high school sports teams in the state. You know, they may have done that in the District of Columbia, that 10 square miles area, but they did not give such authority to the general government. And so I am going to argue that the federal circuit court or the federal district court or even the U.S. Supreme Court, I'm going to argue they do not have authority to tell the state of Utah or any other state for that matter how they can compose teams, sports teams within the state. That is entirely the purview of the state of Utah or of any other state in the union.
Let's be clear. Mm-hmm. Even though you can say that this is state, not federal, and to some degree there's truth to that, at the same time, the only reason we have government involved in education is because we backed the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto, which calls for compulsory education. If we didn't steal money from our neighbors, all in the name of, quote, government school, we wouldn't be discussing this at a government level at all. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the rub is. You get one insult by government, adds to injury by government. Again, don't take my money. Don't steal my money at the point of a figurative government gun. Don't mandate that I participate in government schools for my children and or with my dollars or anything else. This problem is a government-driven problem. Okay, and why are we going to the government to ask permission whether, you know, kids should be on sports teams, male or female or whatever else in the first place? Look, why are we giving the government that authority over entertainment and sports and athleticism or what? Okay, this is not even the realm of government at all. But see, we're forced into this venue because we backed compulsory education. The Republicans promised that abolish the education department. They never did. Now you've got school boards calling parents terrorists over these very issues, Lowell.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Sam. The real answer is to get our children out of these government propaganda camps called schools and let the thing implode on itself. cooperative schools, private schools, the schools where the parents actually dictate what occurs in that school. That's how you're going to guarantee a good, solid education for our children. Not by subscribing to the government school model system that we have in place today. I totally agree with you, Sam, and we've explained why this bill is now an ugly bill. I am not going to lobby the governor one way or the other. My senator voted against the bill, and I'm glad that he did, because it's an ugly bill. It has a poison pill in it. It will turn this state upside down the very moment there is a federal judge who rules that that law is unconstitutional, just like Judge Robert Shelby did in December of 2013 when he ruled that the language in our Constitution that defined marriage between one man and one woman was somehow unconstitutional. The very words that our state put into our Constitution, he said, were unconstitutional. And what did we do? The state rolled over, we acquiesced, we backed down, and we now accept same-sex marriage in the state of Utah. It'll happen for trans in female sports, and we will lose the basic protections that we currently have for girls' sports in Utah. It'll just become co-ed and male. There won't be any room for girls' sports in Utah. That'll be a sad day, but that's what we get for subscribing to our public education system, for begging the government to help us educate our children. That was a no-no. We took the bait. We shouldn't have, Sam.
And adding insult to injury is kind of the level that we're at in America now. It's one thing that you did this wrong, but now you're paying for it multiple times, multiple ways. Okay, same thing is true with this next article from Ron Paul. Okay, headline says, it all comes back to NATO. Ron Paul. Now, Ron Paul believes just as strongly today as he did back in his 2008 floor of the House speech that, you know what, we should jettison NATO big time. NATO should be disbanded, not expanded. We could not agree more with this if we tried. But again, this is where we add insult to injury. So the Constitution calls for Congress to have authority over declaring war and or what actions we take short of war. In other words, Congress, the House of Representatives specifically, was tasked with, in the supreme law of the land, deciding how we ought to interact with other countries when things aren't going well. All right? And the reason why the House was selected for this is because it put it in the hands of the most people. The House was not only the greatest number on the general level, but it was also closest to the people, where our influence could be felt through our House members. They could reach out to us. We could give them guidance. Okay, most of the nation isn't for going to war. But yet, we've changed this. We've joined international groups that now have greater say than Congress, creating a train wreck of the checks and balances that American founders fought so hard for. When we get back, we'll have Lowell jump in on this one and talk about this. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it's disaster, this Russia and Ukraine battle. It's disaster when we're over 130 nations militarily involved. You know what? We need to get out of NATO yesterday because it's challenging the checks and balances of our Congress. It's criminal, folks.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
It all comes back to NATO, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul with an incredible column, but you know what? I submit to you that it's insult added to injury, if you will. Because you know what? We should realize Congress has responsibility in these matters. The House, in specific, says the supreme law of our land, not some global group called NATO. Lol.
Well, and by the way, Sam, I believe that this treaty, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that we joined in 1949, I believe that that's an unconstitutional body. And just like whenever the federal government passes a law, when Congress passes a law that's not constitutional, or when the president issues an executive order that lies outside the bounds of the Constitution, I believe it should be nullified, Sam. I believe it's unconstitutional. You know, people say that, well, if the Senate ratifies the treaty, or some agreement of the president, you know, president enters into a treaty and the Senate ratifies it, then that becomes the supreme law of the land. I don't agree, Sam. I don't agree that something foreign or alien to our Constitution can live with, in concert with, the Constitution of the United States. I believe it's unconstitutional and it must be nullified, just like a federal law that's unconstitutional should be and must be nullified. So I don't believe that we are obligated in any way to prop up NATO. I think the U.S. should get out of NATO and just let it implode. It will implode if we would quit supporting, if we quit tossing money into it, then it would just go away, Sam. That's how I feel. The NATO is an organization, should never have been created in the first place. It should have been disbanded after World War II. It should not have even been created in 1949. Let's remember what Senator Robert Taft said about NATO back in 1949 when the U.S. Senate initially voted on NATO. He said, "The treaty is part of a much larger program by which we arm all these nations against Russia. A joint military program has already been made. It thus becomes an offensive and defensive military alliance against Russia. I believe our foreign policy should be aimed primarily at," now listen to these words, Sam, "security and peace." Boy, doesn't that ever sound like George Washington. And continuing, he says, "and I believe such an alliance," speaking again of NATO, he says, "I believe such an alliance is more likely to produce war than peace. If we undertake to arm all the nations around Russia, and Russia sees itself ringed about gradually by so-called defensive arms from Norway and Denmark and Turkey and Greece, it may form a different opinion." In other words, Russia may form a different opinion about NATO. "It may decide that the arming of Western Europe, regardless of its present purpose, looks to be an attack upon Russia. Its views may be unreasonable, and I think it is, but from the Russian standpoint, it may not seem unreasonable. They may well decide that if war is the certain result, that war might better occur now rather than after the arming of Europe is completed." End of quote. That was Senator Robert Taft in 1949. And so we see played out here today, Sam, this week and last, Russia's response to the expansion, the eastward expansion of NATO. And I understand how Russia feels. I would do the same thing, and I think you would do the same thing too, Sam, if you were sitting in the driver's seat in Russia and you saw country after country joining NATO and being armed by the United States and the UK with military nuclear weapons getting closer and closer to your borders, to your people, to your sovereign territory. You know, that's how you'd respond too. And that's the point that Walter Block made in his column, talking about what, how would we feel here in the United States if Brazil formed a country, formed a treaty organization called CATO, the Central American Treaty Organization, and began enrolling all of the Central American countries into CATO, you know, Panama, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, Belize, Chile, and Argentina for good measure. And then what if they went into Mexico and deposed the democratically elected leader of Mexico and installed a sock puppet dictator there, just like the U.S. did in Ukraine in 2014, a regime that's friendly to the U.S., the Western power? And then what if they threatened to arm that country, Mexico, with weapons of mass destruction? How are you going to feel about that now, citizen of the United States? You are now totally ringed about with countries who are arming themselves with nuclear weapons, and they surround you. What's going to be your response? In other words, Sam, let's put ourselves in the other guy's shoes, because that's a good exercise. It helps to helps us to understand how they feel, helps us to understand why they're doing what they're doing, Sam. I just think it's such a good, healthy exercise, Sam.
Yes, it is, and yes, Putin was wrong to invade Ukraine. We're not defending that at all, ladies and gentlemen. He was wrong to invade Ukraine. But understand that war is a horror. War is the health of a state. Innocent lives will be shed no matter how, quote, careful the warring sides are. However, ladies and gentlemen, where lies the primary blame for this? The answer is this unhappy state is really can be laid at the feet of Russia, or I'm sorry, of the United States and NATO. We're the ones driving the money. We're the ones driving the organization. We're the ones providing the leadership, and we ought not, because it's supplanting congressional authority and obligation, duty, if you will. U.S. Representative Thomas Massie makes a statement regarding Ukraine that's relevant. Lol.
I'll quote just the second sentence of this statement. The statement's too long to cover in the limited time we have left. He says the resolution, he's talking about this resolution that passed the House of Representatives last week, where the United States gave a ton of support to Ukraine, the country of Ukraine. He said, quote, the resolution contains an open-ended call for additional and immediate defensive security assistance. This term is so broad that it could include American boots on the ground or, as some of my colleagues have already requested, U.S. enforcement of a no-fly zone. End of quote. I'll just go that far, Sam. But in other words, it's such ambiguous language, open-ended language. You could drive a truck through this, and believe you me, Congress will drive a truck through this in the coming days, months, weeks, and years. They will drive a truck through this. They will commit U.S. forces. This will spin out of control into the Third World War, you know, if cooler heads don't prevail. And that's why Thomas Massie voted against this resolution. And you look at the mass media around, Sam, look at what everybody is saying. People are jumping on board. They can't get in line to support Ukraine fast enough. But Sam, what was Ukraine doing to the Donbass region for the past 8 years? What have they been doing? Well, you know from your discussion with Sasha last week that the Ukrainian army has been shelling, killing, maiming, hurting people in the Donbass region, the southeastern region of Ukraine, for the past 8 years, using weapons and munitions that we have sold to Ukraine. Why are we doing this? Why did we support Saudi Arabia in the genocide that they were committing in Yemen?
answer is because we're deceived by the warring media in bed with international groups that betray Congress's authority and power, and because the war machine is at the helm with leaders who do its bidding, ladies and gentlemen. We are involved in unjust, immoral wars. We pretend we have the moral high ground, but the truth is we're involved in unjust, murderous wars that flat out need to stop. What about them 600,000 barrels of oil, asks Eric Peters in an incredible column as well, Lowell.
He points out that America currently imports about 600,000 barrels of oil from Russia every day. And parenthetically, let me also mention that Europe depends on Russia for 46% of its gas. That is almost half of the gas that powers Europe. All of Europe comes from Russia. Okay? So Eric Peters is saying that these 600,000 barrels of oil that we import to the United States every day, well, it was only about a year ago that America did not need any oil from Russia, right? About a year and a half ago. America was on the verge of being a net exporter of oil, perhaps to places like Russia. But what happened? Well, Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline, among other things. And so now, where are we? We're now importing 600,000 barrels of oil from Russia every day. Well, Sam, let me ask you a question. What's going to happen to gasoline prices if and when Russia stops selling oil to the United States?
Well, it's going to skyrocket. And the problem is these times take time to crank up. So even if we wanted to pivot, we couldn't, not in a timely manner. So it would be absolutely out of control. In fact, it may even paralyze the nation, Lowell.
Exactly right. You hit the nail on the head again, because the prices of gas for us would skyrocket. They're already high, but they would double and triple over, if Russia says, okay, you put embargo on us, you threaten other countries who do business with us, we're going to stop all of the oil exports from us to you, and then that would leave us 600,000 barrels of oil short every day. And how long is it going to take us to get the Keystone Pipeline up and running? Well, months and months, ladies and gentlemen. And it's going to hurt Europe too, because half of their energy comes from Russia. And so what if Russia said, okay, we're not going to sell Europe any of our oil anymore? And so this is the natural outcome of this act of war, which, in which the U.S. is engaged. We are the ones, the U.S. regime is the one pushing NATO eastward toward Russia. The U.S.-NATO alliance is the one causing these problems. And instead of having an outpouring of the citizenry in behalf of Ukraine, we should have an outpouring of the citizenry decrying this horrendous action by the U.S. and by NATO in expanding eastward toward Russia. Sam?
We should have an outcry that says, don't pick sides, don't go to war. Don't pick sides, don't go to war. Don't pick sides, it's an unjust war. Stay out of it, ladies and gentlemen. That's the valor that we should have. And that should be vested in Congress, in the House of Representatives. And we, the people, should have influence over our Congress critters to make sure that they understand how we feel on this serious matter. And then as our representatives, they should take appropriate action to de-escalate, to stay out of it, to remain neutral, to wisely say, hey, we're going to provide this great economic engine over here. Man, you ought to join us, folks, and quit fighting. You ought to participate in the free enterprise system. That's how people prosper. That's how stability and prosperity occurs. And we should simply be the light on the hill and set the example. That's our prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Lowell Nelson, thank you so much, sir.
Where goods cross borders, armies do not, Sam. You're welcome.
Amen to that. There he goes, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job on your radio every week. A big shout out to the folks at Campaign for Liberty all over the country, doing a phenomenal job, and their counterpart, Young Americans for Liberty, all across college campuses, doing a phenomenal job. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. God save the Republic.